Hi guys, Camila here. Welcome back to another episode of the What to the Weary podcast. I'm really glad to have you here. If this is your first time, welcome again. You know, this is basically just my corner of the internet where I share my experiences through just growth and learning and my relationship with God. And then, you know, try to encourage you with those, my lessons from those, you know, tell you that it's okay. You're doing great. You're doing life well. And even if you think you're not, you know, there are really easy ways to, or maybe not easy, but there are ways to adjust and do life well. And so just welcome to encouragement, welcome to rest, welcome to a safe space where you can share stuff and listen to stuff and just generally feel good about yourself. And if this is not your first time here, you know, welcome again. It's really beautiful and encouraging to know that you watched the video or heard an episode and then came back. It's a really beautiful thing. So yeah, today you already know what I'm talking about by the title, and so I'm just gonna get straight to it, right? Living outside of yourself, living beyond yourself. And this started, basically my thoughts on this topic started as a sort of repentance slash soliloquy thing, and it was just, you know, very recently in church, right? I was thinking about Solomon. I was thinking about Solomon, and it just took me into this deep rabbit hole. I know that happens to people a lot, where, you know, where you are talking, you're even maybe listening to a message, listening to a song, and then you hear one word, and that one word just leads you into this rabbit hole where you are now thinking about a whole other topic or a whole other concept. Yeah, that happens to me a lot, and that's how this happened, right? And I'm just gonna start by saying, when it comes to how we live, the basic is selfish. We live selfishly, you know, and that's the human nature. That's the nature of anybody. That's the nature of humans, to plan for themselves, live for themselves, because the average person cares more about survival than anything else. And this is human. It's why when you're in danger, your adrenaline kicks in, because your body, your system, your brain, everything in you is thinking, we gotta survive this. That is just plain human nature, and there's nothing wrong with it, right? And so that plain nature is what spreads into a lot of our other decisions and how we live our lives and how we interact with others, because we are most likely thinking all the time, I gotta survive this. This has to benefit me. I have to come out of this stronger. I have to win this. And that's not a bad thing. To be honest, it's not even remotely a bad thing. It's just, you know, we get carried away sometimes, and it gets really weird for some people, you know, and that can be scary. But anyways, yeah. And so how this relates to just thinking about Solomon, taking it back to how Solomon got me thinking about this, is, I mean, Solomon from Bible. Solomon is one of those Bible characters that I'm genuinely a fan of. I mean, if you were a modern day person, you know, kind of like these philosophers like Naval, I read a lot of his stuff. I would like read all his books, visit all his talks, you know, attend his lectures, all of that. I'm a big fan of him because his concepts, the things that he wrote about, they were really simple. You just had to think about it a little bit and you got it instantly. They were really simple but great tips for living. Yeah, and that's why one of my favorite books of the Bible is Proverbs, because you don't even have to think too deep to understand those things. They were so heavy, so profound, but so easy to just understand. And every time you read it, you can use it to reference different aspects of life. But let me not go, different aspects of life. But I'll not go off on another tangent. Let me just stop here and say, so yes, Solomon. So that day I was in church and the preacher had talked, he had mentioned Solomon in passing and went on, and I just became like enamored with the story. I started reading about Solomon again. I mean, I knew the story, but not on a deeper personal level. Like, I came to know it now. And so I read that scripture where that chapter where that popular chapter where God asked him for what he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. That scripture is 1 Kings verse 3, right? So I'm just going to read it again for context. I'm gonna read it real quick. So it's from verse 3, and to give context, right, in verse 4 he had gone to offer sacrifices at the most important high place and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. In verse 5, God appeared to him in the night in a dream and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And then verse 6, here it says, Solomon answered, I'm reading the NIV by the way. It says, Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. 7. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. 8. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And 10, it says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. 11, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. 12, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. 13, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. 14, if you walk in obedience to me, keep my decrees and commands, I will give you a long life. And then it goes on, right? And what stood out to me was, you know, we always talk about how Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. But when I was reading this, it stood out deeper to me again that Solomon was genuinely concerned about doing the right thing for the people that the Lord had put in his hands. And that touched me differently. And you know, when I was first thinking about this scripture, and I got to that part where it said God said he should ask for whatever he desires, I was like, why hasn't God asked me a question like this? Like, can me ask for whatever you desire? And it occurred to me, like, okay, if God asked me that question, what would I answer? And in my heart, I just started thinking of, you know, I would ask for my own house. I would like to buy my own house now. I'd ask for a car. I don't have a car. I started thinking of material things. I would ask for my businesses to grow, you know, just so I can start making money off of it. It wasn't because of the people I was working with or because of the impact that said businesses would make. It was just so that I could start making money off of them. And the answer in my spirit was very straight and direct. It was like, that's why you've not gotten that question. And for a moment, I was just like, oh. And then I started feeling ashamed of myself. I was like, oh, so disappointed, Kemi, so disappointed. You know why? Because when I thought that, I hadn't even gotten a question, but when it just occurred to me that I could get a question like that, my survival instinct kicked in. My selfish nature kicked in, and all I could think about was me. Like, it was just about me. And a lot of times, that's who we are. And we make the mistake of being that person all our lives. And you know, in just my reflection, moments of sober reflection about that specific part of my thoughts, I realized that that's a small life to live. What made me the most disappointed was that I didn't even think of this podcast. This podcast is an instruction that I got, you know, a leading that I got in my spirit to just do, based on the fact that I often hear or speak to people and they're like, oh, I'm so encouraged. And I just got that strong leading to keep encouraging people on a larger scale. I did say in the first few episodes of this podcast that I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with it as of yet. I'm learning, I'm getting better, but you know, it's taking some time. And it was weird to me how I did not even think, hey, this is a major assignment that I am aware of, that I got. I did not think to pray about this. I did not think to say, Lord, let the podcast reach more people who need to be encouraged. Let more people hear the things I'm saying and get the messages of encouragement in them and, you know, not feel joy. I did not pray about the podcast at all. I felt so disappointed in myself. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And it's crazy because, you know, it's not like I don't put work into it. It's not like it's easy. This is the fourth time I'm shooting this because every single shoot has been interrupted, or I recorded video and then record audio or something. It's just one thing or the other. And so even while I'm conscious of how much heart and passion goes into this and how willing I am to do this because it's an instruction, I didn't think to pray about it or pray about the impact or pray about the hearts of the people that would interact with the content, when that should maybe have been my first point of call. And so I was very disappointed in myself. And through just meditating on Solomon and what he did, right, I realized something. I realized that beyond just having a full knowledge of who he is and what his assignment is, because he did, which is something that I saw in that scripture, he did know who he was. Like, I am a king of Israel now. And he knew what his responsibility was, to lead these people right according to the will of God. And so that was the cause for his concern. That was the source of his pressure, because he did not want to lead them wrong. He didn't want to lead them contrary to the will of God. And that was his source of worry. So beyond just what he had done, which is knowing his assignment and then knowing the responsibilities attached to his assignment, he also had a heart of genuine care for the people. He genuinely cared about the people that had been put, that he had been put over to steward. And, you know, sometimes when we are in that position, we are more focused on us. You know, for instance, if I were Solomon the king, like I said, and God asked me that question, from just what I did, I know that I wouldn't ask for leading people right from that behavior. But that should be your first point of call. The assignment, the working man. Because the truth is, you know, when your focus is on the people around you, when your focus is on living a genuine life beyond yourself, you naturally are able to live your own life to the fullest. I know there's a difference between this and people pleasing. I'm not talking about people pleasing, because I know that the internet is a beautiful place and there are people whose joy is to take what you've said and look for the negative meaning of it and highlight that. No. When I say living for others, I don't mean people pleasing. I mean genuine care for others. The truth is, the care you show others is a reflection of how much you love yourself. Because if you love yourself, loving others will be easy. I'm not saying people pleasing is performance. I'm not saying performance. I'm saying a heart of genuine care. It's only a heart of genuine care that could have moved God to say, because you ask for this, I will give you more. I will give you wealth and honor. I will make no one better than you in your time. Because it is heart of genuine care was obvious. There's this part in that chapter, I'm gonna read it again. So God said, you've asked for this and not long life or wealth for yourself, you know, and you've not asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. So that's what he cared about. He cared more about ruling right than being cool. And it's so easy to say, oh, but it's so easy to just discredit this as a minor thing, but it's so not a minor thing. How easy, like, I can't say off the top of my head that if I got a blank check now, the first thing I'll think about is charity. It won't be the second either. It won't be the third. It's gonna go way low on my list. I mean, I will eventually get there. But if I got a blank check, and I'm not talking a blank check for small money, I'm talking a blank check for lifelong wealth, charity would be very low on the list. Like, I had to realize that about myself and call myself back, because that's not that's not who we should be. Living beyond yourself calls for genuine care for others. And I know I keep going round and round this topic of love and care for others and community and people, but it's just because it's so important. It's so important that that's where we are, and that's who we are. It's so important to be there now. As the world keeps going, right, I said it in a previous episode that we are very connected but also very distant. So we have people who have thousands of followers and people that they say, oh, queen, hi, queen, hey, and they share heart emojis and hug each other and chat all the time online, but are suffering alone in their houses. We have people sending the most hilarious tweets and hilarious messages out of very dark, dirty, depressed rooms. And so we've come to a point where living has to not be about you alone. Something I realized while I was thinking about this is even that living for yourself is a very small life to live. Because so you make money, right? You get fed. You build a house. In short, you can build a couple houses. You have all the models of the cars. Like, you have everything you want. Then what? Who has your living touched? Who have you encouraged? Who have you helped to be better? What have you built other than yourself? You know, and now living beyond this, I'm talking about this now, and it's making me think about the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents, right? These guys had 5, 2, and 1. The person who does nothing with what they have has done nothing. Simple. The person who does nothing, who does not multiply what they have, whose resources makes no influence or impact, has done nothing. So the truth is, a life where all we have is our own basic needs and then our family's basic needs, just us, it's a me, very close, very tight circle, that's not a life of impact. That's not a life of shared love. And see, you don't have to change the world. It's the beautiful thing about this. It can be one person. One person in your immediate environment. It can be your neighbor's kid. Your busy neighbor's kid. Maybe your neighbor is always busy at work and all. It can be you deciding to help that kid so that they don't grow up into a lonely, depressed adult. They don't grow up into an antisocial adult. That is living outside yourself. It doesn't have to be a dramatic thing. You don't have to take all your earnings and take it to charity. You don't have to give everything you have to Goodwill to show that you are living outside yourself. It's the point of this is saying a life of genuine love, which is what I keep pointing out with Solomon. God said it. You are concerned about administering justice. You are concerned about the people in your hand. You want to lead them right. Solomon instantly knew, okay, I'm a king and these people have been put into my care and I cannot mess this up. I have to lead them right in the way of God. I have to lead them such that, you know, I'm not leading them against God's will. I have to be fair to them. It was more about them. And, you know, coming from a country like Nigeria, right? While growing up, one of the churches I attended was this very popular prayer church. And, gosh, I prayed against my enemy almost every day. My enemies. I prayed against enemies so much that I didn't even know how to pray for other stuff. So I began to learn. I developed a pattern of prayer that was just, Lord bless me, Lord bless me, Lord bless me, or Lord kill my enemies, Lord kill my enemies, Lord kill my enemies. And even now I'm very embarrassed to say it. Because that's not what we are called to pray for. Prayer is a conversation between me and God. And so with understanding, I came to realize, imagine that you have a father, because God is our father, right? Imagine you have a kid, because God is our father. So I imagine that I have a kid now, and every time my kid comes to me, mommy give me money, mommy give me money, or mommy this guy in class, this my classmates hates me, get them expelled, mommy get my classmate expelled, mommy get my classmate expelled. I keep saying classmate, I don't know why, but yes, I imagined it. If that was all my child asked me for, at some point, I would stop listening to them. Mommy, give me money. Mommy, give me money. Mommy, give me money. Okay. Normally, sometimes, maybe when it starts at first, I will give them. And at some point, I'm just over it. Like, that's all I am to you. Someone that gives you money and gets your opposition expelled from school. And gets your bullies expelled from school. So, it is why when Solomon went to God and said, these people you've put in my hand, I want to lead them right. God was impressed. And the truth is, when you have a heart of genuine care for people, you somehow find that you are able to become that person. It's a journey. You don't even know when it's happening, right? But the moment you start living a life of genuine love, care for other people, you become somebody. So for example, you commit to helping somebody, helping maybe an elderly person that you notice always takes a walk down the side of your street. You commit to helping them cross the street every day. Even just that little act of living outside yourself, you start to build discipline. You start to build consistency, and your love muscle is strengthened. The goal for all of this is to strengthen your love muscle. To strengthen your love muscle. And once your love muscle is strengthened, giving, caring, sharing, those things become easier. And then not only that, it helps you to light up from the inside. There is nothing like a light that is lit up from the inside. If the light that you see with is from inside you, nothing can kill it. I watched a TED talk from a very popular Nigerian comedian recently, and he said it, nothing can stop the person whose motivation is from within them. They are the only ones that can stop themselves. It's the same thing. If you grow into a life of service and culture, a culture of service and love to others, you will somehow find that you are, and I'm not gonna like romanticize this and say that you become a superhuman or no, you are just healthier inside. You feel clean inside. The things that are crowding your inside and making you feel heavy, weighted, depressed, anxious for the future, those things are rinsed out by love. That's what happens. So living for others is a life of genuine love. And you know, if you've not gotten anything that I've said today, or if I rambled a lot and you're just like, what exactly is she trying to say? Here it is. I'm trying to encourage you to start looking at a life beyond yourself, beyond your immediate needs. I know that survival is important. I know that if you've not fed yourself, you can't feed others. But you don't have to feed others to impact others or to help others or to live beyond yourself. In fact, it's as simple as walking by the road and not throwing trash on the road just because you know that trash would clog the drainage, and the drainage clogged would cause flooding, and flooding messes up cars. It's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It's as simple as you're walking by somebody, something falls out of their pocket, and you pick it up and give it back to them. Hey, you dropped this. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as you're on the road and somebody is carrying something heavy and you just help them with it. And that's difficult to do in a country like Nigeria because people are dangerous. They'll be playing all sorts of tricks. But I know you get what I mean. It's not a grand gesture. It's not declaring that you will feed 100 kids this holiday. But if you can do that, do that. But it's not declaring that. It's not declaring that you are going to fund the feeding for all the orphanages. No. You can start with the small things. But get comfortable with giving. Get comfortable with helping others. Get comfortable with seeing somebody on the road that looks great. And instead of thinking, I wonder if those are real or fake, tell her you look great. Or tell him you look great. Let them smile because of you. Living beyond yourself is not... it's not going to come in a grand moment. It's going to come from the basic things, which is what touched me the most about Solomon's story. He knew who he was. He knew what he had to do, but he genuinely did not care about the other stuff. I keep thinking about it. A king that was not thinking, I don't want my enemies to... I mean, he's a king, and this nation is a nation that is envied and, you know, wanted by so many. And he's out here, he's not thinking, Lord, let no one ever come and fight me for this nation. Let no one take my territory. He's not thinking that. He's not thinking, let me be the richest king that ever lived. He's not thinking that. Oh, I just hit the mic. He's not thinking that. He's not thinking, I want to be greater than all my enemies. Because trust me, if I became king right now, if I became the president of this country right now, one of the first things I would pray for... is to be like the true giant of Africa, like the nickname says. Like, I don't want the other countries to ever step to my country because it's a thing of pride for me. And that's another point. if you get rid of pride, living for others becomes easier, because you stop looking for things that can show you up as a cool person or as a good person or as a strong person. You start looking towards actually helping others or touching others or just being a good person for others. Again, I'm not talking performance. It's part of the things that pride funds. Your pride will push your performance. If it's pride, then you will start performing instead of genuinely influencing. So I'm not talking about performance. I'm talking about doing things without expecting a reward. Helping people without announcing it. And even if you announce it, the heart of it is you wanted to help people. People like that never lack. People like that, survival becomes a basic. It becomes a minor thing. Because why are you even worried about survival? It's natural to worry about that, but then the understanding that your needs are already met will help you approach it a little less, you know, panicked, a lot less calmer. And I say this for myself as well. I was struggling until I gave up and just like, God, please just help me with livelihood. I just don't want to starve. Like, I'm gonna live and do the things that you want me to do in my life, but just I need to earn something so that, you know. And this is literally how I was saying the prayer. Like, I need to be able to earn so that if I'm doing ministry, if I'm doing, you know, if I'm staying away from people for a while to just get to know you more, all of that, I need to be balanced financially. I need to be able to feed well. It was when I gave up and did that, that I started finding balance in my life. Because I came to a point where I realized that I actually can't help myself survive. I can't give myself all the things I need. I can't. And so all my hustling just started to fizzle out. You know, me, before this, I was all like, it's about greed, it's about power. We stay hungry, we devour. but yeah. So coming to that realization that my provision is in God helped me approach things calmer. And for survival, that's what you need to do. Realize that your provision is already there, it's already been made, and start thinking of how you can live a life that genuinely, it doesn't even have to be something that, the truth is, while living for others, you will find wealth, you will find status, you will find the honor, you will find the protection and all of that that you need in that. So, you know, again, I just want to encourage you today, start to look beyond yourself. Start to look beyond yourself. Think of ways that you can just positively influence the world around you. It doesn't have to be grand. Again, I keep saying it doesn't have to be grand. The reason why some of us will never get a blank check, blah, blah, the reason why some of us will never get a blank check from God or from people is because we are too selfish. And it shows. We are too selfish. The reason why some of us will never get certain levels of power is because we are too selfish. Because leadership is service. It's serving others, not self. So, until we get to a point where you can realize and think deeply about what you are doing and what impact your actions are making, you will constantly only think about yourself. So I encourage you today, think about the life that you're living. Think about, you know, the things that you have. How are you sharing? How are you caring? How are you showing others love? How are you making the world around you better? How are you putting a smile on other people's faces? How are you being a source of hope or encouragement to someone? Because sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes you just smile at someone. Something happened to me recently. I went to church and it's a new church. I'm trying to join a new community, you know. I've been inside myself too long, and I decided I would start, you know, actively engaging in other communities. And so in this church, they called out like young people to dance forward, and so I went and I was just looking down like, oh, this is so awkward, maybe I should have stayed in my seat. And this woman sees me and she's like, baby girls, dance. She's like, baby girl, dance, you look so beautiful. Gosh, my day was made. I laughed, I giggled so hard. You would think that she said something like that. I giggled so hard and just, you know, got into the flow with her and danced with her a bit, and I felt so good. The rest of the day, the rest of the service in church, I felt good. When they made a call for youths to wait for a meeting, I waited for the first time. I didn't even realize that I was waiting until like the meeting was going, and I'm like, wait, why am I here? Because I was feeling so good about that place. All of a sudden, just because someone told me I knew I looked good before leaving the house. I did check my outfit and all of that. But just because someone said it to me, I suddenly started feeling good about the entire space and decided to stay for a youth meeting in church and committed to doing something with the youths of the church. Just one day, just one compliment. Sometimes that's all we need to do. You just need to give someone a smile and you turn their day around. I mean, I wasn't sad or anything. I wasn't upset. I was just having my regular introvert day and being already tired, already thinking, I want to go home. I should not have come out. I should have stayed in my seat. All of that. That's all. I wasn't in a bad mood. I was in a very good mood. But there was no... that meeting had been called so many times and I just refused to go. I was just not ready to be part of that community yet. But someone just told me, you look so beautiful. She's like, baby girl, dance. You look beautiful. Dance. That's all. My day was so made. And so sometimes it's just that. Giving somebody a smile, a compliment, a helping hand. Your shoes look really nice. Oh, I love your shirt. Just doing that alone. And you've made someone's day. You've put them in a better mood. So yeah, again, to come back to, you know, just the summary of it all. The point of this is you need to start genuinely caring about the world around you. The other things will follow. It says here, I'm reading that scripture again. I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. So yes, in his lifetime there were other kings, but there was no king as great as him. If there were like King Olympics, he was the winner, the global winner, the Guinness World Record holder, the record breaking king, the only king. And just to support this, right, I'm gonna do another quick read from a scripture, First Peter chapter 4, I think. Yes, First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 10. This is the key point, part. 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So when you have a gift, when you have an ability and you use it to help others, you are showing that you are properly stewarding the grace of God in your life. You know, 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So serve others. We are called to a life of service. That's the point of all of this. You're called to a life of service. A life that is for you, for your benefit alone, is a very small life. It's not the life we're called to live. Serve others. Embrace serving others in little ways and in big ways, in the minor things, in seemingly unimportant things. Embrace a life of serving, because service is true leadership, or true leadership is service. Either way, you can flip it either way. You can flip it either way and it just works. And maybe sometimes that will start from how we see ourselves, because, you know, again, I keep going back to how Solomon knew who he was. And my song reference today is from that. It's that Solomon knew who he was. So maybe if you've not learned to embrace a life of service or live for others, it might be because you don't even know who you are or what you carry and how you can use it to serve. My song recommendation for today is I Am What You See by Bishop Paul S. Martin. I will link the song in the description below, in the description for the podcast as well, so you can just listen to that. It's a very beautiful song, right? It's help me to see me, the way you see me. Sometimes I see pain, Lord, and you see victory. I see where I am now, you see where I shall be. Open my eyes, help me believe I am what you see. When you see yourself as God sees you, then you are able to stop worrying about just yourself or just your life. You are able to look beyond you and see others. You know, that's the song for today's song recommendation. You know, so I encourage you, in your prayer time, you can just ask God, help me to see myself how you see me. Help me to see who you've made me to be. Because if you're gonna live a life beyond yourself, you need to actually first see who you are. You need to first know who you are. So yes, I just encourage you to listen to the song, pray with it, you know, talk to God to help you come to a knowledge of who you are, who he has made you to be. And you know, in all your endeavors, I just encourage you to constantly try to live a life of true love and true impact, helping others, lifting others up, serving others, a life of service, a life of service. Yes. And that's the end of this episode. If you listen to this point, thank you so much. I genuinely appreciate it. And lastly, if you're wondering, this thing that I say at the end of every episode is just like my mantra. It's the reason for this entire podcast. And it's gotten from 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. So 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. And it says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you're as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. Thank you very much for watching, and I'll see you next time. Bye.